The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essan
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, Vice President Emisa Afa calls for deeper collaboration among religious groups to promote peace. National agenda to guide political parties advocated. Public relations practitioners charged to be truthful and accurate in discharge of their duties. And Zambian President Michael Sata dies in London. First, the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
Religious bodies in the country have been encouraged to collaborate for the continuous unity and peace of Ghana. Vice President Kisi Mitaatha, who made the appeal, said government considers them as partners in development and will continue to recognize their contributions. The need for a national plan or agenda aimed at guiding political parties to draw their manifestos in line with the national agenda has been reiterated. The chairman of the National Peace Council, Professor Emmanuel Asante, who made the suggestion in Accra, said until a national plan is drawn, the country will continue to witness change in programs every time there is a change of government. Public relations practitioners have been tasked to be truthful, accurate and responsible in the discharge of their duties. The president of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana, Major Albert Demchebe, said this will remind them to adhere to the professional code that places a huge responsibility on them. And Zambian President Michael Sata has died in London, where he had been receiving treatment for an undisclosed illness. Reports say President Sata died at King Edward Hospital in central London, where he had been hospitalized since last week.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. Vice President Kwesi Mitaatha has called on religious bodies in the country to keep collaborating among themselves for the continuous unity and peace of Ghana. He said the government considers them as partners in development and will therefore continue to recognize their contributions. Vice President Mitaatha said this when he called on the Emir of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission in Ghana, Maulvi Al-Hadi Mohammed bin Sali, in Accra. He charged the new Emir to continue from where his late predecessor, Maulvi Wahab Adam, left off. Setia reports.
The Vice President's visit to the national headquarters of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission in Accra was to congratulate the new Emir on his elevation. He said the high level of unity and understanding among religions makes Ghana a unique place.
This country is unique for the unity of the religions. So you can find Christians joining with their Muslim brothers and sisters in churches and in mosques. And I think that this country is the only one where you find this intermingling of people in the various religious communities. We pray that this spirit will continue in our country, because it is this spirit that signifies the unity of our people. And as I come here, I come with the greetings of the Christian community. I come with the greetings of the other people of Muslim faith to wish you well in your new job. The responsibilities that come with it are huge. With Allah on your side, you will succeed in your mission. You know how your predecessor was also such an important member of the Ghanaian community. Now it is your job to make sure that our people stay together, in even with our differences.
Maulvi bin Sali said the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission still remains a social partner of the government in development.
We are committed to peace. We are committed to love, but peace, love and affection, as well as sincerity, can never be attained and achieved without discipline. So discipline is first and foremost, among other things, on our track. And as such, therefore, I want to give the assurance that as far as we Ahmadis are concerned, we are always ready. You can call on us day or night when it comes to the principles that we believe in and which you are struggling hard to maintain and establish. We are always behind you, and call us anytime. You will find us readily available, and we would always assist you. Since you came to power, you have always seen us as partners in development. That indeed is what we are.
Maulvi bin Sali presented 3 books, including an original copy of the Quran, to the Vice President. Setia reporting for Radio Ghana.
Government says it will continue with its open-door policy of interacting with business entities to enable it to constantly address their challenges through policy initiatives. Vice President Fisi Mr. Arthur Sethers and the Director of Finance of British American Tobacco in charge of West Africa, Anthony Cogdi, conferred with him at the Flagstaff House in Accra. He said though some farmers depend on tobacco, there is the need to provide them with alternative livelihood.
We have a policy of meeting various industry and business groups to listen to their concerns, to listen to their insights into their business and so on, so that it can help us in managing the economy. I know that you have some specific concerns about some of the policies, especially tax and other policies that the government has introduced or in the process of introducing. And so we'd like to hear from you what specifically you have with respect to those. And also, since you're also mainly citizens of the country and the world, you also have some concerns about the health of the citizens and how to safeguard the health even as we consume tobacco products.
Yes.
I know that there's a significant portion of the farmers in parts of this country who also rely on tobacco for their livelihood, and even as the health concerns dominate the discussions, we also have to look at how to encourage them to do other things that will secure their livelihood. So those are some of the concerns that we have.
Vice President Christian Mr. Arthur, Mr. Cogdi said his visit was to discuss with the government some concerns and seek advice as to the way forward for tobacco in Ghana.
The purpose of this meeting is to talk a bit more about the opportunities in Ghana, specifically from the tobacco angles. We'd like to also discuss with you some of the concerns we have in general around doing business in Ghana, and hopefully we can aspire to hear some of your advice and feedback that you can give us, which obviously we'll take on board.
You heard the Director of Finance of British American Tobacco in charge of West Africa, Anthony Cogdi.
The Electricity Company of Ghana says about 400 megawatts of power is wasted annually through the misuse of the commodity. As part of measures to solve the problem, a campaign for energy conservation has been launched. This is to ensure that every household or office conserves 1 megawatt of energy every day to make for the shortfall of 300,000 megawatts. The Executive Secretary of the Energy Commission, who made this known at the launch of the campaign in Accra, said there is no economy that has grown without relying on energy. A report by Mary Atule and Safia Mutala.
The energy campaign, which is dubbed Save a Watt, is using school children as ambassadors to drum home the need to conserve energy in order to resolve the energy crisis in the country. The Executive Secretary of Energy Commission, Dr. Alfred Ofosu Ahinkura, said energy is a commodity which is produced at a high cost. As such, if wasted, it brings effort to naught. He therefore called on all to ensure that conservation of energy becomes a priority, especially at a time when the country is facing an energy crisis.
Saving energy always has very serious implications on our pocket. The economy of this country is growing and we need energy to drive the economy. There is no economy in the world that has grown like that. We can also harness renewable energy, solar, wind and others. Energy is being produced at a very high rate, and when this energy is wasted, it means we have failed in vain.
In the message, the chairman of Energy Commission, Dr. Kwame Ampofu, expatiated on the concept of the campaign and urged the public to use energy wisely. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Ni Laye Afote Agbo, said it is imperative that consumers of energy, be it for commercial or domestic use, learn some energy conservation practices. He stated that the issue of electricity should be a concern to all.
I'm very delighted that the same award can be finally landed in the Greater Accra region, where it all began, to say that we have been confronted with serious challenges in our electricity supply is simply understatement. We have had a terrible encounter with doomsayers, which has impacted negatively on the economic activities in our country. It is important to note that as we move forward in our national development efforts, challenges will arise and will resolve, leaving us better off than before.
A musician, Kojo Enki, who is the ambassador for the campaign, advised people to learn how effectively to use their gadgets. The campaign will be taken to all the 10 regions.
That report was filed by Mary Atule and Safia Mutela.
The chairman of civil society organization CSO's platform on IMF bailout, Joe Winful, has advocated transparency in the ongoing IMF negotiations. He said the platform has been created to solicit the views of citizens to be taken into account in the IMF agreement. It will also enable Ghanaians to buy into the agreement and work towards a successful execution of whatever conditionalities it will impose on them. He was speaking at the launch of the civil society platform on the IMF bailout in Accra. A report by Yvonne Asayofe and Dura Togo.
The platform, which will be known as the Civil Society Platform on the IMF Bailout, will work to initiate a national conversation and hold a forum to discuss and agree on common positions on the key issues by civil society to inform both government and the IMF. It will engage the media, academia, and faith-based organizations to embark on a sustained campaign to educate Ghanaians on the bailout. The platform will agree on mechanisms to monitor the implementation of the final agreements of the IMF bailout. Mr. Winful said the move is going to run for the full 3-year duration of the IMF bailout and is expected to initiate a monitoring and analysis segment for the implementation phase of the final agreement between government and the IMF.
What we are saying is that let us assist in making sure that what you're going out for will be beneficial to us and dealt to the benefit of the citizens of Ghana. And that is the whole essence of this platform. When there are bailouts, there's going to be conditions. Some of the conditions could be biting. And our concern is that please let us minimize the adverse effect on the vulnerable and the poor in the society. Part of it is agriculture. Part of it is health, education. But if you come in and you are talking about subsidies of petrol, for God's sake, rich people drive more than the poor. So that is something that could be compromised. But you cannot compromise very pro-poor initiatives. And that is what we are going to advise the government on.
The forum is to assist and bring together a lot of the Ghanaian population to be educated and also participate in the whole initiative so that you don't become passive. You know, you're just there, you are being ruled and eat and sleep. No, we are asking for active participation. There will be the SMS communication, there will be the Facebook interactive discussions and so on. And then, you know, citizens of Ghana will be aware of what is going on.
Some of the activities of the platform will include citizen monitoring of the implementation process, assessment of the impact of the bailout, and the use of the evidence to demand effective citizens' engagement with government for more responsive and transparent IMF final agreement implementation.
Yvonne Asayofe and Dura Togo filed that report.
A center for strategic leadership to provide skills, offer personal grooming and develop programs for African leaders has been inaugurated in Accra. The center, known as the Drolaw Strategic Leadership Center, is an initiative of the University of Professional Studies, Accra. Launching the center, the Chancellor of the University, Nene Drolaw Boso Adamte, said it is important that Africa takes its rightful place in the world's economy. He said this can only be achieved if the right platform is created to deal with the challenging issues facing the continent. We bring you Antoinette Abba's report.
Academics are of the view that ineffective leadership, outdated mindsets, and improper training are some of the setbacks to Africa's progress. According to Nene Drolaw Boso Adamte, for Africa to be relevant, emphasis must be placed on building confidence and bringing on board innovative ways to tackle the problems facing Ghana and the continent at large.
Africa can drive its own development and leadership agenda. It is known today that Africa is the last frontier. We are the second largest continent in the world's oldest populated area. And for so long, Africa has been the first to be ignored and the last to be recognized. Truly, Africa doesn't need handouts. Africa needs genuine partnership. And most of the challenges that we have on our continent and in our countries within Africa is ineffective leadership. We have a system that needs to be looked at carefully, that dealt with force. I believe there is a solution. Africa has great potential. However, the lack of proper leadership is deterring us and holding us back. But investing leadership development in our youth, young people, and literally penetrating the areas of our greatest concern, we can fix this problem once and for all.
The Vice Chancellor of the University, Professor Joshua Alabi, said the establishment of the Drolo Center for Strategic Leadership forms part of the university's plans to create 3 centers of excellence before the end of the year. He earlier established the Center for Public Accountability. The final one, which is the Otumfo Center for Traditional Leadership, will be established by the end of the year. Professor Alabi said, going beyond the traditional training of leaders to analytic and strategic thinking is critical to the development of the country. Professor Alabi said the university is poised to churn out comprehensive programs aimed at enhancing the development of all sectors of the economy.
We organized an international group with the Duquesne University of the United States of America. The outcome of the program was the establishment of the MPhil program in leadership. We have to go beyond just training students in leadership, open a strategic leadership center in our university. And our programs have to do with strategic leadership, and we have identified that in this university. The aim of the university is not only to train and turn out guys, no, it's also to do research and disseminate the research findings, and that's the university's contribution to knowledge.
The council chair of the university, Justice Ni Aiti, said Africa needs to rewrite its narrative with the establishment of the leadership center, and equipped with the requisite resources, it is hoped that this will lead to retelling the African story.
Antoinette Abbas report.
The chairman of the National Peace Council, Professor Emmanuel Asante, has reiterated the call for Ghana to draw a national plan or agenda. He said this will guide political parties to draw their manifestos in line with the national agenda. Speaking at a symposium at the University of Professional Studies, Accra, Professor Asante said until a national plan is drawn, the country will continue to witness change in programs every time a new political party comes into power.
The strategic leader operates within a far-reaching program, integrating short-term results and a long-term focus. The concern here borders on the question, how does the short-term action impact on the future or the long-term? And then change-oriented. The strategic leader is hardly a manager of the status quo ante. Ghana must have confidence in the AU in respect of strategic leadership. Ghana must draw a national strategic plan with a view to facilitating the implementation of the AU protocols in the country. And this center must produce strategic leaders for Ghana and Africa as a whole. I do believe that as a nation, we must have a national program. We've been operating on the basis of political parties' manifestos. Somebody comes with a manifesto, does it for 4 years, if the person is out of the scene, another person comes and what is started is not even continued. What is our national agenda? What is our national plan? How do we factor AU protocols into these national plans? This is what we need to be working towards.
That was Chairman of the National Peace Council, Professor Emmanuel Asante. A former Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Ajiman Biduakosa, called for the scrapping of religious regional blocks on the continent who, in his view, are not serving the purpose for which ECOWAS were established. He said abolishing ECOWAS and the other blocs, for instance, will pave the way for the strengthening of the AU, which can then champion the development of the continent.
The president of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana, Major Albert Donchebe, has asked public relations practitioners to be truthful, accurate, and responsible in the discharge of their duties. This way, they would be adhering to the professional code that places a huge responsibility on them. Major Donchebe made the call at the 22nd annual meeting of the Institute in Accra. Joyce Jichi and Esther Bracco have filed this report.
An annual lecture on the theme, A Nation at the Crossroads, Using Effective Public Relations to Achieve the National Agenda, preceded the 22nd annual general meeting of the Institute of Public Relations. The president of the Association of Public Relations Ghana, Major Albert Donchebe, said the association settled on the theme after a long debate on what PR practitioners could contribute towards national development. Major Donchebe, who is also the Director General of GBC, urged PR practitioners to stand up to their professional ethics.
The Global Code of Professional Standards for the Practice of Public Relations places a huge responsibility on every practitioner worthy of description as a professional to conduct ourselves with truth, accuracy, fairness, and responsibility to the public, and therefore refrain from subordinating the truth to other requirements. It is therefore the responsibility of each practitioner to always advise management based on established and ascertainable facts. This is how research becomes crucial in the professional practice of public relations.
He expressed worry that the desire of the association to establish a public relations research fund to facilitate research in the areas of public relations has not materialized. The Minister of Communication, Dr. Edward Omane Boama, in a presentation read for him, expressed the hope that a day will come when the PR establishment and the media would support society to effectively promote development. His speech, delivered by Director of Human Resource of the Ministry, Charlotte Siedu, talked about the theme, A Nation at the Crossroads, Using Effective PR to Achieve the National Agenda.
All nations, and indeed families, and even individuals, get to a crossroad of a sort in their lifetime. But what is most important is for one to pull out a plan to strategically get all to understand why we are at the crossroads and how we plan to take the correct turn at the crossroads to ensure that we get to our destination safely and in good time.
She said information sharing by professionals like IPR on the government's engagement with the IMF with the public will promote understanding towards the engagement. She assured the association of government's commitment to assist IPR to achieve its objective to enhance the image of the profession and institute. The annual general meeting of the institute took stock of its activities, revealed its performance within the country and beyond. However, the election of new executive members was postponed.
That report was filed by Joyce Jichi and Esther Bracken.
The power and influence of media owners constitutes a major bane of the practice of professional journalism. These media owners, whose major interest is profit, dictate how and who should broadcast news and other programs, most of whom are not professionally trained. At a seminar organized by the Media Foundation for West Africa for News Editors on the role of media managers in improving professionalism in media practice, there was a general consensus for a law or policy that will regulate the operations of private media to ensure that media ethics are met. This, in the view of news editors, will improve professional standards, especially in the local language media. The need to empower the National Media Commission to effectively regulate the media landscape was also emphasized. Laurie Anderson and Bridget Bonny Agbenyo, SAPS Info Radio Ghana.
Professionalism on the media landscape is continuously discussed among the public. Standard is said to have fallen, especially because of the introduction of sensationalism in the presentation of the news. The Media Foundation for West Africa has since May this year been monitoring media content of 40 media houses. The foundation, using ethical principles set out in the GGA Code of Ethics, identified 508 ethical violations. The foundation complained about the neglect of standards by some media houses, especially the local language radio stations, which embellish the news content with proverbs. The executive director of the Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleimana Brahima, drew attention to the effect lack of professionalism can have on the practice of journalism.
So the record of Ghana, I would say, is positive as far as media freedom and freedom of expression is concerned, whereby these things that are in the reference. But I think what is really becoming challenging for the survival and the sustainability of the media industry, therefore, is not arrest of journalists, it's not criminal libel law, it is not throwing journalists into jail, but a question of citizens' trust.
It was an interactive session as news managers and editors tried to identify the source and effect of professionalism on the media landscape. One of the issues discussed at the seminar was who sets the agenda for media content. There was a debate over whether the power lies with the advertisers or media owners who are mainly interested in making money. News editors from the various media houses emphasized the need to draw the line between a commercial venture and the importance of observing and upholding best practices. The chairman of the Editors Forum, Ajua Yeboah Aferi, sums up the thought of the editors protest present in demanding strict enforcement of regulations.
The practice now is that people set up radio stations or television stations as an investment, as a business concern. And that should not be the case, because these people normally are not media people. They are not journalists turning into investors. So it means that to them, it's a purely commercial venture. And this is what I think is wrong in. Because all the problems that have been identified by presenters seem to arise from the fact that they are playing to the tune of their owners. Where they go wrong, they will tell you that they are very professional, they know what they should be doing, but they are doing what their owners want. And this is why we have low standards in some of the radio stations and language, indecent language on some of that. Before anybody sets up a radio station or a television station, there should be a period of orientation, say some weeks or months, so that they know their responsibilities to the country, and that's not just for earning money.
Who do you think should take the responsibility of that?
Well, it seems to me that this is a role that the National Media Commission can play, or together with the National Communications Authority, but it shouldn't be allowed to continue, that people just see setting up a radio station as a purely commercial venture. This is why we are in the state that we find ourselves.
The CEO of the Media Foundation for West Africa, Suleiman Abraima, was excited with the responses received from the editors. He tells Radio Ghana the next line of action.
We needed the thoughts of these people in the newsrooms who are going through the challenges, who are supposed to be the gatekeepers and the content managers. And I'm sure that the biggest issues have been raised. And I'm happy that they didn't, you know, hide behind the scenes.
That report was filed by Gloria Anderson and Bridget Boni-Apenyo.
Government says it has nothing to hide in its decision to have a hand in the management of the second-tier pension funds. Deputy Minister of Communications Felix Kwachefosu, who made the point, said government wants transparency in the management of the fund.
As far as government is concerned, we are willing to ensure that there is transparency and accountability in this process. In any event, the arrangements are such that it is not possible to conceal information from relevant stakeholders, because labor is represented on almost all the bodies that are concerned with this arrangement. So I would say that any suggestion that government is being cagey or is hiding information from workers about the status of monies that have accrued so far to the temporary pension fund account is erroneous. The Minister of Employment and Labor Relations made it clear last week, Friday, when he addressed the press on this matter, that government was willing to share information on that matter. And indeed, the matter came up, and the minister assured labor that his outfit is willing to discuss those matters with organized labor, and that any time that that matter comes up, it will be addressed. But there is a need to establish a platform based upon which negotiations can be undertaken to address the matter so that the strike could be thought of for normal to return to the labor force.
Deputy Minister of Communications, Felix Kwachefosu. Meanwhile, negotiations are expected to continue between both parties today. So in the news and main points again, religious bodies in the country have been encouraged to collaborate for the continuous unity and peace of Ghana. Vice President Kwesi Mesafa, who made the appeal, said government considers them as partners in development and will continue to recognize their contributions. The news was presented by Samuel Esan.
And story number four in Accra.